It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to begin reading with verse 45 today. And so please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, the phone number is 217-440-4402. If you would like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies there. Our plan of salvation is present, and also the church constitution is there. Many studies, and so please that you would enjoy that. And if you'd like to email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, it would be just fine. If you'd like to write to us, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Once again, Matthew chapter 27. We get right to the study. That's the important part, Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Now, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, and said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did shake, and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many of the women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. We're going to end with the reading there at the 56th verse and begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we had the opportunity today to come and to enjoy this time. I thank you for the joy we have to study your precious word. So important, Father, that we can go each day reading your word, studying your word. There's just so much to learn. And as we study this each day and study this and able to proclaim it on, you know, with Sunday school and church and Wednesday night, it's just such a joy to be able to open your precious word, and then, Father, to be able to do it across the airways. I just thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and we need to be so thankful because you have blessed us so much. So, Father, please guide and lead us. Show those that do not know the way of salvation the way of salvation. And we know that is through your precious word, realizing, recognizing that we're sinners and we're lost and we need a Savior, and that Savior, Father, is your Son, the Lord Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is at work right now, taking your word, touching the hearts of all that are listening, whether for salvation or whether it be to grow and to serve you, to grow up and be thankful. Father, please, guide and lead us today. Take those that need to the cross. Show them where your Son died. That's right where we're at in the Scripture today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed the study of verse 45 and 46. And we find ourselves here down to verse 47. And verse 47, some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elijah." Let's go back to Psalms 69, verse 21. Psalm 69, verse 21. "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." Each time we find a fulfillment of the precious scripture. Now we get down to the verses here, and again, verse 48. "Straightway one of them ran." I'm back, Matthew 27, 48. Any time that I go to a cross-reference, I keep my hand, my fingers back in the text that we're really studying from, which is Matthew chapter 27. And so that way you can flip back there very quickly. And so maybe that'll help you as I go from one place to another, trying to show you the cross-references that are very important, the prophecies that are very important. So as we have returned now to Matthew chapter 27, verse 28, "And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And now to verse 50, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost." Now, as we look at this 50th verse, I want to go back to Luke. And again, keep your hand in Matthew, because that's home for us today. And so let's go to Luke chapter 23, verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost." Love that verse of scripture. Now on to John. You might keep your finger in Luke there so you can kind of come back and look at it. Let's go back to John chapter 19, verse 30. "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost." John's gospel here says, it is finished. It is accomplished. It is completed. So Jesus said, I have completed every deal of redemption, the forgiveness of sin. The Word of God tells us that if he had not risen from the dead, there would be no forgiveness of sin. You would still be in your sin. So yes, this part of it is finished. As he spoke those words, it is finished, the word, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, is one of the greatest words that was ever spoken, the word that means it is finished. Tetelestai. I hope that's pronouncing it correctly. He screamed that with a loud voice. And what that's saying is, I have fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law and of the prophets. I have taken care of the redemptive plan. Something here that is important for us to see, and that is, he spoke this with a loud voice. Hanging on the cross for 6 hours, he had been brutally beaten. He was too weak to carry his cross. They nailed him to that cross. They put that cross in the ground. And they sat there and watched him for 6 hours dying. No man would have a loud voice. No man would even be able to speak. You could move your lips. You could maybe get a whisper out. But never a loud voice. And yet it specifically says here, a loud voice. It would have been very weak, a very feeble sound for any man, but not for God. God, man. You see, this wasn't a cry of defeat. This was a cry of victory. Taking our sins away. Some things I think that you need to see. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. Jesus died voluntarily. He willingly laid his life down for sinners. No man took his life. The Jews demanded his death, but they did not kill him. The Romans crucified him, but the cross did not kill him. The nails in his hands and his feet hanging on that cross did not kill him. Jesus died at the very moment it was appointed for him to die. He simply passed his life back to the Father in heaven. He dismissed his spirit and handed his life back to God. What a picture. What a picture. It's a victory cry. It's finished. It is finished. And we know, and we'll enjoy that. 3 days later, they come to the tomb. That stone was rolled away. That body was gone. Because he had risen. And he's alive today. All other gods that men serve, dead and buried. But our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is alive, witnessed by many after the resurrection. Not to mention, as it tells us here down in verse 53, and came out of the graves after the resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Graves were opened, verse 52. Many bodies, not all of them, but many bodies of the saints which slept arose. What a day that was. What a day. So understand, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but the cross did not kill him. He died at the appointed time. And that time was set before the foundations of the world when Jesus would come, be born of the Virgin Mary, live and die and be raised again. The scripture tells us, cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost. when we die, when our earthly body is finished, that appointed time for us to die, our soul, we go into the presence, our sweet spirit, we go back into the presence of our God. Because I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he took my sins away, because I have been set free. What a joy to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to walk each and every day with him. What a joy. But that joy and that victory comes because what Jesus did on this day 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Something took place. Not only the darkness for the 3 hours that it was from the sixth hour unto the ninth hour. Not only did we hear the cry, Lama, Lama, Eli, Eli, Lama, Sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not only did the time come when he yielded up the ghost. In other words, his sweet spirit went back home to be with the Father. Beyond that, there was something that took place in the temple. And that was the veil. This veil was ripped in two. Not from side to side, not from bottom to top, but from the top down. From the top down, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. When Jesus cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. At that exact same time, this veil come apart. God declared that human eyes should not see the death of his Son, so he blacked out the lights of creation. For 3 hours as Jesus hung on the cross. But again, when Jesus yielded up the ghost, this veil between the Holy of Holies and the holy place, the veil that meant everything to the Jews, was ripped in two. It meant the end of Judaism. Without the veil, they could not worship as they had always worshiped. We go through this often. Here we understand the tabernacle, the temple. It started out to be the tabernacle. It was something that Moses received on Mount Sinai. You know, you ask most people, what did he receive on Mount Sinai? And they'll tell you the Ten Commandments, the law. And that's true. But also, more important than that, Moses received the plans to the tabernacle. The law stands for death. The tabernacle stands for life. It laid out a means of salvation. That was the tabernacle, and later the temple. The temple, the tabernacle, all represented. Now, the tabernacle was a tent-like affair. It had golden walls. The walls were 15 foot tall. It was acacia wood overlaid with gold was the walls. Foundation was of silver that these posts, these boards sat in. And then there was a material that went across the top of them. There was four different materials that laid across the top of the tabernacle to make the roof or the ceiling, whatever you want to call it. And it went all the way from white linen to badger skin on the outside, white linen on the inside. And each part of this tent-like building had a great meaning. It all pointed to Jesus, every bit of it, from the four layers, from the brazen altar out in the front, brazen laver out in the front. Brass always stands for judgment. Gold stands for deity. The wood stands for humanity. You come in through the gate, first thing you see is the brazen altar. You must accept that there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be an offering. They would bring an animal. And on the Day of Atonement, getting back to this Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, which is inside this tent-like building, which is 45 foot long and 15 foot wide and 15 foot tall, the back room, as we would call it, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat would be found, is 15 by 15. It's square, and so the Holy Place that's in front of that would be the 30 by 15 by 15 foot tall. That room held the lampstand, table of showbread, and the incense altar, or as we kind of call it, the prayer altar. And then you go through the veil. This is the veil we're talking about here that's been torn from top to bottom. This veil, no one could enter. No one could enter except for on the Day of Atonement. One day a year. And then never, never, never would you enter there without the blood. Without the blood. When you speak of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to understand how important the blood is. The old covenant, the first covenant, the covenant that the Jews held on to, the covenant of bringing their animals for sacrifice, was constant death. The animal had to be put to death, had to be killed. And the blood was placed at the base of the brazen altar, and the sacrifice was offered. And that was done on a daily basis. But once a year on the Day of Atonement, there's a Passover and the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost, you might call it, and then you have the enjoy many of these feasts and festivals that was placed in their hand to have, but every one of them had a meeting. Every one of them. The Feast of First Fruits, being Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Atonement. It just goes on. All this has a great meaning and a great picture for us. But on the Day of Atonement was a very solemn, very special day, because that was the only day that anyone could enter into the Holy of Holies through this veil. It's the only time. What took place on that day? They had two goats. And one was the Lord's. And that one was put to death. The other one was to remain alive. And the high priest, only the high priest, could do this. And no one else was in the tabernacle, in the holy place, no one. So the one goat was put to death. It was chosen. Was put to death. And his blood was caught. And the high priest would take that blood and enter through the veil into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of that offering, that sacrifice, seven times upon this top, pure gold. He would sprinkle it, called the mercy seat. He would sprinkle it seven times. Inside this small cabinet called the Ark of the Covenant, you'd find the Ten Commandments. Because you see, the law kills. The law kills. But with this tabernacle, with all this plan and all these feasts and everything that God put into place, it had the picture of redemption, the picture of salvation, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his whole purpose was to remind them that the Messiah is coming, and you're going to have to continue to put these animals to death until then. So on this Day of Atonement, on this day, the high priest would take the one blood of the one goat that was killed, take that blood and sprinkle it seven times upon the mercy seat. But he wasn't done. Then he would come back out. And that live goat, he would take those bloody hands that he had just used to sprinkle seven times in the Holy of Holies upon the mercy seat. And he would lay his hands upon that live goat, and he would confess the sins of the nation of Israel. And then that goat was led up into the hills, never to be found again. That's what the Lord Jesus does for you and for me. You see, he shed his blood. And he took his blood and showed it, gave it to his Father in heaven at the throne of God and said, "Here, I have paid the price," just like the high priest did, because you see, Jesus has become our high priest. But now do you see the importance of that veil? Because if that veil is not there, they cannot do this. All of a sudden, the Holy of Holies has been exposed to man. It's opened up. We can't go in there. We shouldn't go in there. And yet the veil is open. How can this be? What can we do? Without the veil, they could not worship as they had always worshipped. The veil separated men from the Holy of Holies. The veil separated men from God. The veil was the meeting place between man and God. But only the high priest could enter. Only the high priest could enter once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now this veil is gone. It was said that it was hand-woven with pure linen. Historians tell us that it was anywhere from 1 to 3 inches thick. Historians tell us that when they would make this curtain, this veil, that they would take two oxen and stretch it as far as and hard as they could stretch it, and then let the greatest sunlight shine to see that there was not one ray of light coming through it. Because, you see, there was a separation between man in God. Without the veil, there is no forgiveness of sins. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?